And we're back. We are going to turn our attention now to the county commission race for District 1. It will be Angela Rogarcia challenging Daisy Maldonado in the Democratic primary. The winner will face Samantha Barncastle Salopek in the general election. And this is the seat that is being vacated by Christopher Saljo Hernandez. Division 1 is in the center of the county, and it is a very diverse district that includes Pacacho Hills and Mesilla, along with the much smaller and more rural communities of San Miguel, La Mesa, and Mesquite. I want to thank both of you so much for joining us this morning, and we will start by giving you both the opportunity just to tell us a little bit about yourself, your experiences, and what made you want to run for this position. Angela, why don't we start first with you with this one, and then Daisy, we'll start with first with you when we get to our last one.
Perfect. Well, first of all, thank you guys so much for the invitation. I'm so excited to be here. As you mentioned, my name is Angela Garcia. I am a born and raised New Mexican. I actually own and am the CEO of the Toy Box Early Learning Centers here in town. That's my passion is kids. I've been deemed the kid lady, but I own it with pride because I think that is how we really move policy. That's how we really do the most to impact is when we think what's best for our kids, right? What's best for kids is usually best for community. And so I'm really excited to be a voice for children, but also to be a big part of the community. And that is why I ran. You asked why I ran. Because I am a big believer that it takes a village. And I've been very blessed to be a part of Las Cruces since I moved here when I was in elementary school. I originally was born and raised in Albuquerque in a neighborhood commonly referred to as the war zone. And so I saw and experienced things as a child you're not supposed to. And I really think that's shaped everything I've become as far as my passion and what I love to do with children. But as I've advocated in the last 10 years, I realized truly just how holistic it is. And so I'm ready to take the next step to serve my community. And that's going to be the county commission.
Thank you very much. Daisy Maldonado.
Yes. Thank you for that question. So I've been asked a couple of times too why I've decided to run. So I'm going to try and tackle that a little bit here. So please forgive me if it's a little long-winded. But you know, I'm a single mom. I'm a Latina. I was born and raised here in the borderlands. And in particular, why I decided to run also is why I have chosen advocacy and community organizing. Is back in 2003, I was in the emergency room and holding the hand of my mother as she died. And that just gave me clarity about because of who she was. She herself also was an advocate for community. She was somebody who spoke up for people who were disregarded, who were overlooked, who we try to look away from. And so, yeah. And so after that moment, I decided that I wanted to serve. I definitely wanted to dedicate my life to serving community, to serving people that are the most disenfranchised. And so that's where I came to in terms of community organizing. So soon after, I moved to Las Cruces. I attended NMSU. I have degrees in communication and government and economics. I won't bore you with the rest of it. And then I decided to stay here, right? And in this community, I served since then. So since 2003, and I've done many of things, both in my faith community, as well as just in the local Las Cruces community. And of course, most recently, in the Colonia communities in my previous position, and advocating and standing up for folks that our county government and our state government has really just disregarded. And so I want to bring that to the county commission.
Okay. Nancy?
I appreciate the passion you each bring into it. And I think both of you are talking about really long-term looking and, you know, how do we address not simply today's issues, but what's the long-term perspective? Do you have particular issue areas that you want to focus on that you think the county has been ignoring that you would like to be a champion on?
Yeah. So thank you for that. There's a few things, but I will start with, and in particular, economic mobility. Doñana County is not only a large county, but it's also the second populous county in our state. And we haven't, and at the county government level, we haven't had an economic development department. And only recently they have one person, right? And then they recently hired several other folks to expand that. And so I want to know, and I want to see, and I want to be a part of what's the strategic plan around economic development, and not necessarily look to outside entities to come in, mm-hmm. but how do we support the talent and homegrown, right? So supporting small businesses, creating employer training programs, and really creating a workforce pipeline that's going to connect NMSU and DACC to our county government, but also to the broader community in general, so that there's economic opportunities for everybody.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, I really think that my three things that I'm really targeted on and I'm really thinking about very closely is, one, creating safer community. Uh-huh. Sorry, I gotta get a little emotional. One of my friends, most recently lost her child, let's be honest, kids killing kids. It's something that's happening in our community.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And it's something we can do something about. I'm a firm believer that, we can have far better prevention and resources available to these children. So that's one of the biggest things that I want to look at. And the county got a lot of go bond money to really invest in our children. And I want to make sure it's very intentional that we're creating programs. There's no place in Las Cruces or in Doñana County to just go be a kid. You know, we really need to start creating better places for our children to be able to go, be safe, have fun, grow, learn, and create community amongst themselves, that fosters, something better than this gun culture that, you know, we seem to be seeing all over the social media with them. One of the other pieces to that is, the cost of living is just so high. And I think that's contributing to juvenile crime in our communities, because families are working 2 to 3 jobs just to survive right now. We can really start looking at how we can support that, utilities, better paying jobs, right? How do we support small business? And that's something that I have a lot of experience in, right? I own my small businesses. I've scaled my small businesses. My small business actually helps other business do business, right? And so it's something that I'm very proud of, and it's something that I know we can build on. Miss Daisy mentioned, being able to create better pathways through DACC and through NMSU for the people that live here to create better, pathways for them to get better paying jobs.
Thank you.
I'd like to ask you both about Project Jupiter. Two-part question, and Angela, I'll let you go first with this one. First part of the question is, what, if anything, would you have done differently if you had been serving on the county commission during the process leading up to their approval of the IRB? And the second part is, what, if you get elected, what do you think the county commission's role should be moving forward in regards to Project Jupiter?
Absolutely. So one of the most important things that I think should have been done differently is transparency. I think that it felt very rushed. I think constituents had a lot of questions. And the truth is, if you live here, you should have questions. This is our air. This is our water. This is our land. This is where we, where we live, where we raise our kids. We should have questions. And I felt like there wasn't enough transparency to have constituents' questions answered. So I felt like it was really rushed. And so I definitely would have liked to have been able to have the opportunity to gain more knowledge, understand things better, right? Going forward, to me, it's accountability and it's safeguards, ensuring that one, again, I'm learning a lot. Microgrids have not been my forte. I don't know anything about them really, right? But it is my job to go learn. Like I said, this is the air we breathe. This is the land we're passing on to our children. It's our jobs to be informed. And so I'm learning a lot about it, and I think that's part of what I need to bring to the county, to the commission, right? Is we need to be able to understand what decisions we're making. Go to the experts and hear what this is going to do to our communities, and then hold them accountable. Ensure that we're reaching the best renewable energies that we can. We're ensuring that, you know, the water loop system actually works and does not contribute to our water crisis down here, because the water crisis is real. You know, and we need to be mindful of that. You know, and one of the other pieces too is ensuring that those jobs are actually going to go to New Mexicans. It's one thing to bring in jobs, but if they don't actually go to the families that are here and that actually support them to support their families, then we're not doing it right. You know, so creating good career pathways that allows the New Mexicans that are living here in southern New Mexico to be ready for those jobs when they're ready.
Okay. Daisy Maldonado.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that question. And I've been on this radio show, right, talking about Project Jupiter for many months. So I don't know that anyone is going to be surprised by my position. But I will say that the people of Doñana County, they deserve to know what was being built in their backyard and what permits were being signed. So what I would have done differently, again, and I'll just mention again my economic background, industrial revenue bonds, that whole process in the code, right, is it's really short. It unfortunately, like, how do we pass a $165 billion bond with industrial revenue bond with such very little oversight or regulation? So I think I would have started there to say, like, what actually does our code say? And then what are we required to do as a county commission? And then double down in terms of getting public input, talking to experts, making sure that there was an independent environmental assessment, just all the things that you would expect from this such a large industrial construction project would have, you know, to come into our county. And then taking a much longer process. So not try and squeeze it into 1 month, because that's the other thing, is that's what the code allows. Uh-huh. So the county knew that, or I'm sorry, the businesses knew that, right? They're like, okay, now you give it to us in a month. And so really extend that out and say, no, we need public hearings beforehand. We need expert witnesses. Uh-huh. You know, we need people to be available. And those meetings, you know, with Spanish interpretation and in areas, and in particular in areas where this industrial project was going to be constructed. And now moving forward in terms of accountability and oversight and regulation, I think that's the other big pieces. We've heard recently that the county commission hasn't had any communication with the companies about the project. I think that's very problematic.
Yeah.
And so, again, moving forward. So one other piece is ordinances can be amended, right? And so I would, moving forward, if I was on the commission, I would certainly want to, again, revisit those ordinances, revisit those lease agreements. Where can the county make amendments to ensure that what is being promised is actually, or what was promised is actually happening? We know for sure right now going on with the construction that most of those workers are not from New Mexico. They're El Pasoans, or they're from out of state. We also, again, communication with the companies has been zero. And then we only hear stuff, you know, in the news. In terms of also, right, most recently, this week, was it 2 days ago, that they're going to change now the energy production process from methane gas to fuel cells. And, you know, it feels like the company, like it's a whack-a-mole, like every day it's something different that both the county and the public have to figure out what's happening, just to understand again what's actually going to be built in our backyard and how it's going to impact us.
We did have a caller who has a question, so if you don't mind, Nancy,
I'll jump in. At all.
The caller wants to know: District 1 encompasses a large section of the city. How does their being elected help the people in the city as a county commissioner? Daisy, what's your response to that one first?
Yeah, thank you. I think how the county commission or the county services and county funding and government really supports the city is going to be through partnerships and leveraging county funding, with city funding, and even state funding to really work towards, again, creating a better economic viability, right? Economic mobility for folks that are living here within the city of Las Cruces.
And Angela Garcia.
Yeah, no, I love the question. I appreciate asking the question, because I think it's actually one of the questions I asked.
Yeah.
Is how do we work together? How is the city working with the county? And it sounds like we could do a much better job. And so I'm super excited about that, because it's something that I am very passionate about doing, is bringing community together and collaborating. I think that that's something that we can definitely do better at the county and the city level, because as mentioned, you know, this is our community. We all live here. So how do we leverage funds? How do we ensure that we're not duplicating services? You know, that's super important too, is that we're not over investing in some areas and under investing in others. And so the more partnership that we can create between the city and the county, the better the impact is in all of our communities, you know, down to our colonials too. Again, you know, we need to make sure that we're thinking very holistic in our approaches and very intentional, especially with funding. Funding is limited, right? And so the more we can partner together with the city and the state and the county, the better resources that we actually are going to be able to offer to our community. And so again, I think it's one of the things that I love most about what I've been able to do in advocacy, is creating relationships. You know, I have amazing relationships with local, state, and, you know, local state government, but also community resources, you know, ensuring that all of these things are at play when we're talking about what we can do. Like you said, in my district is part of the city of Las Cruces, but it's also Mesilla. It's also part of the colonials. So again, you know, the more partnerships and the more collaboration we can have, the better the impact.
Oh, do we have another call coming in?
We do. How do you plan? I should probably read these for myself or read them out loud. How do you plan to educate families about Project Jupiter in the most transparent way? That's a good question. This is, as you mentioned, microgrids, and this is new to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't need to add to it. I think the question, Daisy, I think it's your first.
It's Angela's
time.
Yes.
Angela's time to go first.
Yeah, no, I think we educate families the same way that we are educating ourselves. You know, it's knowledge is power. The more that we can learn about these, like you said, the microgrids, the water, how does it function? What does it really look like? But again, that starts with transparency. It starts with being able to get the answers. It starts with being able to understand, you know, what it is and what's going on. You know, the best part that I've learned in, because again, like I said, I'm really learning about this, right? And gaining my knowledge, is that there are a lot of amazingly smart New Mexicans right here.
Yeah.
That they understand this. This is their wheelhouse. This is what you know, they do, and they can explain it to us in a way that we understand. You know, I never thought I would understand so much about a microgrid, about a water loop, about all of these things. But you know, emissions and how renewable waste is, and right, all of these things. I never thought it would be something that I would start to comprehend and fully understand. But again, it's because we have amazing experts in our own communities that can help explain it to us. So I think that's what's important, is getting it from the experts and being able to put it in a way that, you know, people like me who have nothing to do with this can genuinely understand and make a decision for ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, as you know, I've already been attempting to educate the community about Project Jupiter since its inception, or, you know, it came to us back in August of 2025. And I think educating the community is obviously a big part of allowing folks to be part of the process in terms of deciding what happens in our community. And community engagement is my bread and butter. It's certainly how I, you know, established my career. And I'm not going to say like that's an easy thing. We all have experts at our disposal. We have retired, you know, engineers and scientists and other folks at NMSU. Actually, and all over the country, to be honest, that we've been consulting with and who we can bring here. And there's a group in town that is newly formed and is going to hold a town hall
just about Project Jupiter. So for folks to learn about it. Exactly. Yeah. And so that is the first step in educating the community, is getting to the community. So not just here in Las Cruces, we've been hosting meetings in Sunland Park and Santa Teresa, getting out into the Colonia communities, you know, out in La Mesa. A little bit of a plug here. Sorry, Walt, there's pipelines that are also being proposed, and that's just a couple miles outside of La Mesa. And again, those are going to impact communities that they don't even know. So beyond the community engagement and meetings is knocking on doors and talking to people and letting them know what is coming down the pipeline, what are their rights, what power do they have, and invite them into the negotiating process. And not prioritize corporate funds and corporate interest over their health and well-being.
Okay, boy, we've had some wonderful discussions here.
Thank you. I'm switching a little bit.
I'm interested in what you see as the relationship between the county commission and the state. You were touching on that a little bit, Andrea, and I think you also,
Angela.
Daisy, and
Angela.
Angela. Sorry. Have I been mispronounced?
It's okay.
Oh,
it's
Angela,
all right.
I apologize.
No worries.
So I'm wondering what you see as the relationship between the state and county commission. What kind of a proactive role would you have in getting more state resources down here? I guess it starts with Daisy.
Yeah. Thank you for that question. So the relationship between a county and a state is something that not only that we need to grow and put our trust in, but it's really critical to the growth and the thriving of our county. And so, you know, every year, I want to have a continued relationship both with state legislators as well as state agencies. So it's not just about when do we go ask them for money for projects. Again, how do we collaborate? How do we work together to ensure that every single New Mexican especially within the district, but also within the whole county, right? All the way down into the parts that everybody forgets and that people think that are, you know, can just be thrown away, that they also get the services, that they get the resources, and that they get connected to opportunities that really only exist here in Las Cruces. And so that has to be a partnership and a concerted effort between the county as well as the state. And how do we leverage those funds? How do we create programs? How do we reach more people? And so really it's just about creating those relationships and then creating those programs collaboratively to serve everyone.
Angela Garcia.
Angela?
Yes. No, I absolutely love that because she's right. It's all about relationships. I've learned that, you know, I've been advocating now for, over a decade, and I have been able to create some of the most amazing relationships with our local, but also our statewide representatives and, you know, senators. And, and I think that is going to be amazing whenever, I get to commission, because as mentioned, it is about not only being able to say like, hey, we need this money, but no, we collaboratively decided as a community that these are our initiatives, these are our goals, this is what we need. And we did it in partnership, you know, and like I said, I'm very proud to say that I have a great relationship with every representative down here for the most part, and senators as well, you know, because it is important. We're all elected to represent the people in Southern New Mexico. So it's important that we have these relationships and that we collaborate on our efforts. The more intentional we can be with the needs of our community, and that is community driven. That has always been community driven for me. So, you know, early childhood is my wheelhouse, I have been advocating in early childhood now for over a decade. And we have made amazing strides. I mean, we're leading the nation now in early childhood education. And so I'm really proud to have been a part of that. But it also allowed me to create a lot of relationships and start looking at our communities holistically to see what else we can do around children and around our community. And like I said, I think that that's the most important part going into the county commission, is that we have those collaborative efforts and we have a unified vision that is community driven.
This is probably going to have to be our last question, because I want to to give you both an opportunity to wrap up at the end. And I'm going to end with one that's more complicated than we have time for. I apologize ahead of time. But it seems like one of the big challenges whoever wins this seat is going to have to wrestle with immediately is the Memorial Medical Center. It has been found to be in breach of its contract. But I think what we do moving forward is still very much up in the air. And so with just a minute or two, if you could both kind of tackle this, that incredibly complex question. I apologize for asking at the end, but it is what it is. So let's see. I think Daisy goes first on this.
No, Angela. I think it's Angela.
Angela goes first on
Perfect.
This.
Perfect. Yes, no, that is a very complex question. But again, I think it all boils down to accountability in our communities. They are here to serve our communities, and they are not doing that. And so I think it's important that again, I think this is talking about collaborative efforts because both the city and the county have recognized that this is an issue and this is something that needs to be addressed. You know, we're in New Mexico, we have issues with access to quality healthcare in general. You know, so here being one of the only hospitals that we have access to, it's instrumental that they do what they're supposed to and that they're serving our community and they're taking care of us because that is one, not only their job, it's what they signed up to do, but it's what they're getting paid for. It's what, you know, our community's counting on them to show up for us and they're not doing that. So I think it was absolutely imperative that the county and the city came together and demanded that we see changes. And so going into the commission, that's exactly what I would continue to put into place is accountability. You know, what are you going to do something different? And if you can't do it, then, you know, maybe someone else does, you know, but I think at the end of the day, again, it is a collaborative effort. So I would like to see, you know, MMC and the county and the city come together, really solution-based thinking and move the hospital forward, you know, because again, it is established in our community and it is important that we already have a shortage of healthcare in our communities, you know, so it really is important that we all come together with solution-based thinking and do what's best for our communities.
Okay. And Daisy Maldonado.
Yes. Thank you for that. Well, you know, healthcare should not depend on your zip code. And it's very unfortunate that the private equity, the company that came in and took over Memorial Medical, was not serving our community the way that they were supposed to, especially, again, because that had to have been written in their contracts, right? And I like there might be a theme here with the county mm-hmm. around working with private entities and then private entities not fulfilling what they've said they would do. So in terms of if and or when I'm on the commission and I'm serving District 1, I do believe that the county will need to use every legal and contractual tool available to enforce the Memorial lease agreement and set a precedent that public assets cannot be handed to private equity without real accountability. The county should be actively supporting and funding county health centers and federally qualified health centers that serve uninsured and underinsured our constituents. And going forward, any agreement that the county makes with a healthcare provider that needs to have enforceable indigent care requirements, regular public reporting, and I will go beyond and say not just reporting, but oversight. Like we need somebody in there to ensure that they're following their contract, right, and fulfilling their requirements and that their consequences, if they're not fulfilling their requirements are something that if they're not met, that there's actual real consequences in that contract.
Well, as I predicted, I didn't leave you guys enough time for an adequate close, but let me give you each the opportunity to let people know where they could go if they want to learn more about your campaigns. Daisy?
Sure. You can go to my website and that's Daisy. So Daisy4DIST1.com. And both four and one are just the numbers. Thank you.
Okay. And Angela?
Okay. And mine is my name, Angela, A-N-G-E-L-A, the number four, Doniana, and it's .com. So that's my website. You can check it out. You can also follow us on social media, the same handle.
And I will remind everybody that early voting begins on May 5th. And I want to thank you both so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Angela and Daisy. Thank you.